You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The first thing I'd like to say is I'm not Amanda McMillan, who is the person you were expecting to see today. My associate, who is wonderful, I'm the short stick, actually. She's quite good, but she's sick, and Craig called me yesterday morning and said, well, why don't you get one of your guys to preach? And he says, well, I got another idea. And then here I am. So, funny, but it's just, I won't belabor it, but this feels like home. It always does to me, and I love you guys, and I'm very grateful to be here. My text for this short sermon is from Psalm 130, just one verse. Out of the depths I've called to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Out of the depths I've called to you. I mean, you know that that's the reason you come to church. You know that you don't come to church out of habit or propriety, certainly not out of obligation, even though many of us might have grown up that way. But that's not why you come to church. You come to church because you actually want to come to church. And more so, you actually need to come to church to hear a word that is directed to your depths. Because God addresses your depths. God addresses your depths. Out of the depths I've called to you, O Lord, and then God, in response, calls back to us addressing our depths. He is not very interested in your curated self, of course. God's not interested in your surface self. He's not really interested in your polite self. But gosh, people are very polite in Alabama. I just forgot about how polite you all are. It's very nice. But God is not really interested in your polite self. See, what God is interested in solely is what lies in your depths. What you have been able in your depths to disgorge and give voice to, He's interested in that, but perhaps He's even more interested in all that remains hidden. All that is there that you don't actually know about, although it does affect you in ways that are befuddling, but you still need to give voice to, or at least it needs to be addressed by God in a way that is even beyond your understanding. And we all in our depths have so many fears and so many anxieties. And often, don't we look to alleviate these fears and anxieties by some external change. You know, if I can just go to, if I can change my job, or if I can get a rest, or if I can go on vacation, this will address what is in my depths. And does it ever work? No, it never works. I mean, have you seen The White Lotus? That's exactly what that's about. It's quite a brilliant show. It does not work. The rearranging on the chessboard of the pieces of your life can't actually go beneath the chessboard into the root system of your anxieties and your fears. There's this very funny Saturday Night Live skit with Adam Sandler that talks about this. And he is Mr. Romano, and he is the head of a travel agency. And just got to picture Adam Sandler here. And he says, people love us, but every so often, a customer leaves a review that they are disappointed and didn't have as much fun as they thought. So here at Romano Tours, we always remind our customers, if you're sad now, you might still feel sad there, okay? You understand? That makes sense to you? We're not the reason that you drink so much. You're going to drink so much in Italy, too. So, I mean, you are you are not immune, no matter where you are, to worries. Sometimes, as Claudius says to Hamlet, our sorrows come not in single spies, but in battalions, which is why the sleeping pill was invented. Wouldn't it be nice to have a place where you could deposit and discharge all that is in your depths? Like a safe place? You might even, to use a theological terminology, an efficacious place in which to disgorge what's there. Wouldn't that be nice? Nobody likes dealing with what's there, but it's there and it rumbles. There is a funny New Yorker cartoon of a caterpillar coming into a shrink's office, a therapist's office, and lying down on the sofa. The therapist is a butterfly, a big butterfly. And the butterfly, towering over the caterpillar, says, the thing is, you really have to want to change to the caterpillar. Well, that's all well and good, but the thing is, to quote St. Paul, sometimes we just don't do the thing that we want, do we? Or we do the thing that we don't want to do. That's what we find ourselves doing. Our depths are complicated, aren't they? Even unto ourselves. Well, they may be complicated to ourselves, but let me just tell you, they also surely cause complications for the people you live with and the people around you. But let me tell you something very clearly. They're not complicated to God. They may seem very complicated to you. They are not complicated to God. There's nothing that God hasn't ever heard before or seen before. There's nothing in your depths that surprises or even bothers God or annoys God. He, in fact, the Bible says, loves it when people call out to him out of their depths. St. Peter, in fact, says the same thing in another scripture. He says, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. That's why, because he cares for you. He's not just efficacious or safe, but he's loving and caring. Cast your anxieties upon him. Now, me, when I hear the word cast, I think of fly fishing. This is what I love to do. I know that people think that fly fishing is a Zen experience. And I'll have people new to fly fishing coming up to me and they say, oh, it's so Zen. You get out there and you're in this rhythm. It's beautiful, and you don't care if you catch a fish. Not true. And you have no cares in the world. That is not my experience at all of fly fishing. It's very anxiety provoking. Casting a fly rod increases anxiety because it always needs improvement, and you're never doing it right. I mean, sometimes with the way the river is, you've got to have the perfect rhythm in the cast, and you've got to lay the fly line down on the river, which is swirling in such a way where there's no drag on the line, because the fish will not go for it. You've got to imitate the bug perfectly, and it's got to be presented perfectly. So I find it very anxiety provoking, and you get a strike, and then all you think is like, if I don't land this fish and take a picture of it, I'm going to kill myself. So it's not Zen. It's the opposite of. So in the same way, many of us have quite a bit of difficulty casting our anxieties on God, casting them upon God, and loading your depths. You can't do this. The Lord may hear your voice. You know that, as the psalmist says, but we might maybe cast them on God, but then quickly, with a quick pull of the rod, take them back So God doesn't even get them. We might find we have no idea how to do this at all, and we in fact are in need of kind of a casting lesson. Norman MacLean famously makes this connection at the beginning of A River Runs Through It. He says, in our family, there is no clear line between religion and fly fishing. And the narrator's father is a Presbyterian minister who spends as much time teaching his boys to fish, to cast, as he does the catechism. But what's interesting about this is the casting lessons, much more than the catechism, which is true to life, teaches us the true nature of our complicated depths and complicated selves. He says this, the narrator, if you've never picked up a fly rod before, you will soon find it factually and theologically true that man by nature is a damn mess. Until man is redeemed, you will always take the fly rod too far back. Then, since it's natural for a man to try to obtain power without recovering grace, he whips the line back and forth, making it whistle each way, sometimes snapping the fly off the leader. Maybe we don't and cannot naturally cast our anxieties upon God because, as MacLean says, we're a damn mess. And we want to attain and keep power without grace. You know the connection between control and anxiety. It's obvious. Sometimes we dam up our depths and clutch our cares so tightly in our fists that we can't even begin to cast them on God. Is that where you are today? I bet it is. Somewhere in your depths. I bet it is. Now, the good news is this, that God is at work, notwithstanding our ability or our inability to undam the depths or cast our cares. He hears. His ears have considered your supplication and your voice. Even when you're unable to fully unravel or reveal your depths to him. Because God cares for you, like a mother cares for her infant, like Amanda is doing for her newborn right now. Think about the analogy. An infant can't cast her worries on her mother. Her mother just takes her baby and meets her every need. She addresses every care with love and completeness. God cares for you in this way, especially when you are unable to do anything about coming to him. Think back to the caterpillar for a minute. Wanting change, doing everything we can do to cry out to God is good, it's right, and you can experience profound relief. Make no mistake about it, by placing your burdens at the foot of the cross. Profound relief. Yet the caterpillar is created and bound by force much greater than his own wants, isn't he? Even if he doesn't want to change, whether he wants to or not, he will turn into a brilliant butterfly. In due time, he will gently fly off into the summer air, arrayed in gorgeous colors, alighting on a green, crisp leaf. A power greater than his worries or his wants is at work. A power greater than your worries or your wants is at work. And that, you see, is the only casting lessons. That's what we need, to rest in him, knowing that he is doing more for you than you can ask or imagine, especially in your darkest depths. I wait for the Lord, the psalmist says. In his word is my hope. And our hope is in God, isn't it, friends? Because God has already proven himself trustworthy. The psalmist, after he does an inventory of his debts, he rightly asks in Psalm 130, if Lord, were to note what was amiss, well, then who could stand before you? None of us, Paul says. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, i.e., we are a damn mess. But the psalmist goes on, which is quite beautiful. But there is forgiveness with you, O Lord. That forgiveness is located once, and it's located for all on the cross of Christ, to which you are invited to cast your burdens. Because on that cross, Jesus himself cried out of his depths, it is finished. He took upon himself all of your sin, all of your cares, all of your mess. And with him, the psalmist says, there is plenteous redemption. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.